I'm Doug, and I'm feeling pretty new at this. It's been a while. Thank you for just bearing with us through this. Thank you, guys. I mean, Craig, Ted, Seth, for filling in. You didn't fill in. You just took over and did what God wanted you to do.
Amen.
He called you, and you answered, "Here I am, Lord." And I think all of us need to be ready for that, for what's ahead of us in this life. Just be ready. If he says to do something, do it. So Seth left off, and we're in 2 Thessalonians, if you're visiting today, 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. Seth left off, he did verses 1 through 12, and where are you, Seth? There he is. Great job. Great job. Don't worry about them sleeping on you either. I heard that in the, when I listened to it. They fall asleep way before they did with you on me, so not a problem there. But he did a fine presentation. And those verses that he touched on and the beginning of 2 Thessalonians, this section is filled and it's ripe and rich with prophecy. Now, I know that's something that I don't talk so much about those of us in here, but prophecy is something that's not a very popular subject in a lot of the churches. And I have questioned, why don't people want to hear about that? It's because the Lord said, "I'm coming and I'm coming soon." So what I feel in my heart, at least, is maybe it's going to interrupt a plan or a program that some of us that call ourselves Christians might have. It should be a day that we look forward to every single morning. If we don't have that, we have nothing. Outside these doors, that world, it's beautiful, it's nice, there's vacation spots, there's things, there's nothing out there for eternity, nothing. Even that is going to go. This is rich with prophecy. And prophecy is not something, like I said, we should be afraid of or concerned about, worried about. Wiersbe made a wonderful statement about prophecy. He said, "Prophecy was not given to us so we can make a calendar on how much time we might or might not have. Prophecy is given to us that it would build character for the time that we do have." Man, so this is rich. This little section that we're in today is like a miniature of theology, complete. That's all you really have to look at, is from verse 13 to the end of this chapter. And you've got everything that our salvation depends upon, what it means, what it should mean, and where it's taking each one of us. So I'll try to do my best in this, but again, and I don't like going back, to Ted or Craig or Seth. I'm not trying to correct anything, but as I listened to you guys preaching, and Seth, on that 1 to 12, what really hit me while I was in the hospital there, I read a lot of Psalms, I read a lot of Job, but I looked over this, and that verse 10, so if you're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at 10, because this is critical for where we're all heading. I don't know where each one of us are going individually or personally today, tomorrow, the next day, but all of us are headed for eternity. Do we understand that? We say we do, but do we really grasp the fact that every one of us at any moment can spin into an eternity with God or an eternity without God? This is real. And if it's not real, again, like I said, we might as well just all go home, because to be honest with you, what Pat and I just endured, I was ready to walk. I felt like the doors of heaven were closed, that they were barred, that God didn't hear a thing I was saying after 40 years. But I know that this is true. I've given my life to it. And I see it in your lives, I see it in other people's lives. And again, if this is not, this gospel, this word of life is not in your heart today, it doesn't matter what else you do from the time you leave here. You need to understand. Amen. and accept this. Verse 10, and with all this, you know, he's talking about the people that aren't believers. And verse 10 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The question that goes with that, are you saved today? I look out here and there's visitors and everything else. Only God knows a heart. There are people that look 100% like Christians. They talk like them, they walk like them, they potluck like them, they do everything that Christians are supposed to do, and they're the furthest thing from a Christian because they haven't surrendered their hearts. But only God knows that. I don't know that. So I have to keep looking out there with everyone that I come in contact, that if you say you're a believer, you're a believer. If you're an unbeliever, then today this is the most critical decision you're going to make in your life. If you're here in the sound of my voice, you need to receive the love of the truth. Amen. That you might spend eternity, which you might spin into at any moment, with our Lord and Savior who loves us more than anything. Have you received the truth? I pray that question eats at us. Have I? Have I done that? Am I saved? Am I saved? You know, it's a word that's kind of, born again Christian, saved, you know, believer. I mean, there's so many terms. But is Christ the Lord of our lives? That's the question for today. Verse 11, it says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And sometimes it's real easy to believe a lie, isn't it? It's easier to believe a lie sometimes than it is to believe the truth. The truth is hard to understand at times. And the Lord said that I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father, no man, no woman comes to the Father except through me, through him. That's hard stuff. Well, there must be another way. Well, maybe there's another path to heaven. There are thousands of paths to heaven. And I've said this over and over. But the question is when that path leads me or you or one you love or somebody you know, when that path leads us to the very throne of God, where do we stand then? There is one way, one truth, one life. That's hard truth. That's a hard saying. And I feel like the Lord is asking us today, maybe for someone in this building, have you received the truth? Are you saved? Or are you believing lies that everything's okay? It's all going to work out in the end. Oh, this is the same. That's the same. This religion is okay. This isn't religion. It's relationship with the Lord and Savior of your life. Amen. So God's saying, read this thing. Consume this. Get it into our hearts and souls. Verse 12, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That should strike fear in the heart of somebody that's an unbeliever. I mean that. Now, I'm not trying to, this isn't scare tactics. That should, they're damned. Eternal separation from God in a hell that we can't even envision to a degree. We can't even begin to understand where these spirits and souls will spend eternity other than what we just heard. And it should strike fear into us if we're not in a relationship with our Lord and Savior. Verse 13, though, here comes the good news finally, is our blessed assurance. And that's what we're going to look at today. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Father, open our ears. Shut the noise of the world out, Father. Shut the lies of the whisperer who constantly tries to tell us that there are other ways, there are other truths. Do you really believe that? Father, let us just take in your word as if you were speaking to no one else but me today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 13 is one of the many passages, I feel, many passages in the Word of God that teaches God's sovereignty and human responsibility. My responsibility. And we'll see that as we go into it. We're talking about chosen predestination, election, and all those words that really bring confusion, doubt, lack of understanding into most people's lives. As we look at this topic today, salvation, it's almost like looking, you ever look down a railroad track? It looks like the railroad track finally ends in a V, doesn't it? But the more you walk down that track, the more that V just keeps on going into the distance a little bit more. They don't actually come together. And this topic of salvation and God choosing us and God's sovereignty and God loving us so much but giving us a human responsibility is like that train track. Can we really understand which side of it is Calvinism, Arminianism? You know, we're Calmanians here at Calvary Chapel, a little bit of each one. But you need to research this and meditate on this to find out, what is it that I believe? Why is it that I'm saved? So as we break that down, let's find some instruction and some confirmation and some of our doctrine, because the Word of God, that's what it's good for, isn't it? Reproof and correction and doctrine, everything that's in here is good for my life if I will apply it. Thank you, Seth. You said last week, I'm really into application. And if you're not into application, don't read this. Read Reader's Digest, Rifleman, you know, read any of that, because it's going to do about as much good. But if you're truly seeking, get into this and just start to eat this as much as our daily bread. So as we look for instruction, what's the instruction that you see in 13? I like that but. He starts off with but. He just took a change from unbelievers and what's going to happen with them to a confirmation to you and I, or instruction, excuse me, of this isn't you though. I'd like to say, hands up if you're saved. This is not you, those previous verses. This is us now in 13, what God is going to do. And this has got to carry us through. This has got to bring us through each and every day. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. The instruction is we're bound. I don't know what you have. Some of the translations might have obligated. Do you have anybody else have another word in there? Ought always. What Paul is saying here is that he was bound to give thanks. This is just like 2 Thessalonians 1, where was it, 3. He said that same thing. I'm bound to give thanks for you. The prayers of this body went up. Unbelievable. There were times that I can't even begin to explain emotions and feelings that were going on. But Pat and I, how do you say you felt your prayers? I don't know how I can say that. But they were there. You can't explain something that is almost unexplainable. Prayers coming into a room 100 miles away in a hospital, lifting us up out of whatever. And I would ask us, you know, thank you. But we are bound to give thanks for everybody, the way that we did for Dee, and the way that we did for Pat and I, and the family, and Peter, and Taffy, and, you know, everybody that was involved. Is that real in my life? I am bound to give thanks. Why? Because you're a brother and a sister, the word says there. Beloved of the Lord. Confirmation. Why are we praying? Why did we pray for Dee? And you know, I don't always want to make every sermon from this point about Dee. Why do we pray? Why do we pray? Do we just, here you go, God? We should pray because that's what God asked us to do. That's what Paul just instructed us to do. I'm obligated to do this by my Lord, because one day I'll give him an answer why I didn't pray for you, why my heart wasn't going out. And I think the prayers that went out this last month from this little church, that's the prayers that have to go out for each and every believer or unbeliever in this body. We've got to pray like that, like our very lives depended upon it. So Paul is saying that, but we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Why? Why are we bound to give thanks for everybody? Some of us might really not like each other a whole lot in here, right? No amens?
Amen.
I just spoke a truth. I thought you loved the truth, you know? Why should I pray? Why should I feel obligated to pray for the one person in this church or anywhere else that chaps my hide? Are you allowed to say that in church? Is that okay? Why should I do that? Because God told me. And if I'm His, I obey Him. Why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things I say? So it's a simple thing to pray for one another. So our doctrine and the answer to why we should do this is because God has from the beginning chosen you. If you underline, put that in there, because this is something we have to stop and think about. Some people think, oh, I have no choice. I had no choice to be. No, God doesn't bring you like, you know, our fathers brought us to church when we were kids by the ear. Get in there, sit down, shut up, be quiet. Hi, bud. God chose us. How did He do that? How did He do that? Was there any merit in you or me, or even a little one that He loves? Was there any merit that's worth that? We were fallen, we were dead in our sins and trespasses, so what could we do to save ourselves? Nothing, right? So, let's get back on this. These people want to go home in an hour or two. Let's read that. God has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in truth. Chosen Him. Please, when we think about some points of Calvinism, which I think Calvin would flip in his grave if he understood where we have taken that, God never chose anyone to damnation. Do we have that clear in our hearts? Oh, well, God chose me. Now, sometimes it makes you feel pretty good, doesn't it? Well, God chose me. But He didn't choose you? Oh, that's not how it is. God never chose anybody to damnation. This is a point that we have to look and say, well, how does it work? I got to need this hand. Turn to Romans, if you would. Romans 8. How does this work? How do we know then if, you know, that I'm chosen, and what I'm showing is that human responsibility and sovereignty of God. He chose us from the foundation of the world. And Craig has preached this, I'm sure Ted has. You know, if we get to heaven and the gate is like it's supposed to be, you know, you look here, it says, all who will enter in. And you walk in and you turn around and it says, chosen from the foundation of the world. Wow. Coming back up. This is all could be yours one day. He don't want it, and you don't
want it. As punishment.
As punishment. Oh, Lord help us. Romans 8. Salvation is the point that I'm trying to continually make here. But listen to what Romans 8 says about, you know, how does this work? How does this choosing work in my life? So we look at, read the whole thing, but let's start at 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? Do you love Him? I mean, blatantly honest within yourself. The answer is yes or no or a little bit or maybe. Do you love God? Well, everything that's happening in your life is going to work for good if you love God. How do I know that? Because God said it. And if I can't believe Him, throw it all out the window. What are you going through today that you can't endure? What are you going through today that is just bringing you down to a point where you want to give up? God is trying to tell us that through this salvation, the love of the truth, the love for Him, for the sacrifice that He made, all things will work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So how does this work? 29, for whom He did foreknow. We have to take that and start with that. Whom we did. Is there anything God doesn't know? No. So before everything happened, we know there was God, right? And it was Jesus and it was the Holy Spirit. This is the important part of salvation, that whom He did foreknow. He knew you before the foundation of the world. He knew everything about Hopi. He knew everything about Jeff. He knew everything about each one of our names. That when they see my son's sacrifice, Bruce is going to say yes. Mike's going to say yes. Susie's going to hope he's going to. You're going to say yes. He knew those in the past that when they looked at his son would mock him, that wouldn't receive him, that it would think, oh, it's just some figment of their imagination. This is how the choosing works. He saw you. He saw the trouble you were going to go through. He saw the heartache that you were going to endure. He saw the trial that you had to go through. He sees what you're going through, and he said, you know, he or she is going to receive my gift. And with that, it goes on. So who he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might. He looks at, let me use Rick. I'm tired of picking on Tom. When he looks at you, he sees his son. He sees completion. He sees perfection. He sees total holiness, righteousness, goodness, grace, mercy, peace. All the garbage, when you receive the truth, went out the window. That's how God sees us from eternity past, before the world was even created. Beloved of God, do we hear that? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, look how we just blah, blah that out, would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's how much God loved you. Jeremiah 31:3, if we look at that, I'm trying to go with time here. It says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Well, how long is everlasting?
Everlasting.
Is that, it has a time frame? Does it come to an end? No. He loves us. He loves you. And what he did was because he saw that you would love him and that you would receive the truth from all the lies that have gone on in our life. And I would ask you, did you ever think back to where you were before Christ came into your life? How none of it made sense. But now all of a sudden you can look back and you can see every little instance was a time that God was drawing you. I know that you're going to love me. For what you're going to have to go through, you need me. And he just set up little instances that we would continue to see him either then, or maybe it would take years, but then we'd see him. And now I look and I think, my gosh, that day, Mike, I never stalled out in a race with my 63 Chevy. One day I just jumped the thing up in the air and stalled out, and a semi went flying in front of me. I look back now, that was God saving me. That was my pride. I never blew on a line. But anyhow, think about how God has been just drawing you and coming into you. That's how he chooses us. And that word chosen is the same as what he did for Israel. Old Testament, New Testament, you got Greek, you got the Septuagint. He chose Israel to be his people. He chose you, me, to be his people, pouring out his love on each and every one of us. Read the rest of that. Well, let me read 31. What should we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What are we going through today, any one of us? It's designed by the enemy to move you away from God. It's designed by the enemy to cause us to give up. And what God is saying, I've loved you. I'm going to continue to love you. I'll never stop loving you. And nothing you can do can make you love me, love you any more or any less. So he did this in his sovereignty, the sanctification of the Spirit, it says. Back to Thessalonians. He chose you through the sanctification. That was his work. The Holy Spirit set you apart somehow from all your old friends. Holy Spirit set you apart from all your running around in different areas of life. He did something that only he could do, and he did it through his Holy Spirit and put you in a position where you would hear and understand and believe the truth of this love of God. It's the Holy Spirit's part, we all know, to bring conviction. Not ours, to a sinner. So don't ever let anybody beat you. But when you're talking quietly in your own head and you hear those things, that this is wrong, this is not right, this is not what God wants in my life, That's that salvation. That's that truth that God is trying to bring into our lives through His Holy Spirit, that we would be convicted by Him, that we would understand the real truth. My part, because it says sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So how did you believe the truth? Well, some will say, well, God didn't give me a choice. Please, we don't need to go there again. Let's not put God on the hot seat. We all had a choice to believe this at one point in time, with God drawing, with God pulling us closer, with God trying to set up. We had a point where we looked at this and it was no longer Greek, right? It was like, you know, there's something to this. Wow, I read this scripture and it's like, wow, He's reading my mail. This is God. He wants to talk to you today. He wants you saved today because He loves you. Not to ruin our lives, not to make us walk around, you know. He loves us so much, He wants to spend eternity with us. He wants us to be with those that we love. He wants us to be with those that meant so much in our lives. And the only way to do it is through Him. So that belief of the truth, that's my part, that's your part. Turn to John 5, I'll pull this to an end. I can't pick you up and turn pages too. I gotta get you a little stool or something. That'd be cool. John 5. So did I lose everybody so far? Sanctification of the Spirit. How does this salvation work? Am I really beloved of God? Do I love the truth? Or am I believing a bunch of lies out there in the world? Believing things that people are telling me. Believing things that people at work are trying to pump into my head. Believing things that the TV and the movies are, or am I believing God? Why should we take human speculation, I've said that 100 times, over divine revelation? Why? It's right here. Yea and amen. Abundant life. Living, real, and rich. So as we look for, what's my part? Or if you're not saved here today, what's your part? In verse 24, it says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. It's your part. You hear the truth? John 3:16, that's as simple as it gets right there, that God so loved the world. We either believe that or we don't, and then I make a decision and I'm going to believe on Him. What should we do that we can work the works of God, they asked in John. And Jesus told them, believe in God and believe in me. It was that simple. But we'd rather do something like go climb a telephone pole and stand on our head, you know, give all our riches to the poor and all that. Just believe in God and watch what He can do in our lives. This is what Paul is trying to get across to each and every one of us. And then the very end, look what he says here. What's the end result of all this? So he's got us praying. He's told us that we're beloved of the Lord. He's telling us that I chose you from the separation of my Holy Spirit in your past life, if you would, and your believing of the truth, receiving this gospel. Then, here's as Paul Harvey says, and now the rest of the story, whereunto? What does this salvation mean? Remember Jacob and Esau? The one guy really loved God and loved the truth and did everything he could, and the other brother just said, what does all that mean now? Give me a pot of red bean soup there because I'm hungry. Some of us are ready to trade our birthright because of lies that are going on out there. And God is saying, no, I'm not done. Whereunto in 14, he called you, put your name in there, put my name in there, by our gospel. This wasn't Paul's gospel. This was when he says by our gospel, that's a gospel that was delivered to him by the Lord. By the Holy Spirit, those words that came into his heart and rang true in a man that was a murderer, a man that went 200 and some odd miles to put Christians to death, God showed him the lie, gave him the truth. Whereunto he called you, Doug, by this gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. the obtaining of the glory. Glory. Was he looking at you and staring? You should see how many eyes I see out there. Look at all these. Okay. The obtaining of glory. So here, this one, I think this one is my last. This one's good. This is rich. Turn to Romans 8. We're heading for glory. Have I told anybody lately? I've said this one. I'm going to heaven. I really questioned it this week. This is your pastor. I questioned it. Like I said, the doors of heaven were barred. Not one of my prayers, except for the very end, was answered when I said, don't let my daughter suffer anymore. And when we took out that tube, Dee went within 5 minutes. That was an answered prayer. But every other prayer, let me die. Let me get into bed. Let me do this. I've lived 70 years. Give my daughter a break. None of them were answered at all. But I forgot that this isn't the end of it right here. And if I ever want to see Dee again, if you ever want to see a loved one again, understand we've got to get to glory for that. We've got to adhere to this. And that's what God is saying to us. So he's saying, for you have not received, verse 15, Romans 8, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I cried that every single minute, it seemed like, in that hospital. Where are you? And you know where he was? He was right on the throne. And he's saying, I'm doing what I'm doing indeed. But I'm also got to work in Ted's life and his mother, and I got to work in Marilyn and Pete, and I got to work in you, and I got to work in the Channers, and I got to work in this one and that one. He's right where he's always been, and he's getting ready to prepare us for heaven. He's not preparing us to live comfortably and be real smooth apples down here. He's trying to get us ready to leave this earth and abide with him forever. We're heading for glory. So whatever this fears that you might have today about following the Lord, whatever this fear might be about something that's in your life, start crying out, Abba, Father, Daddy. Anybody in here a parent? Do you ever tell your kid to get away when they said Daddy? No, you pull them up and tell them it's going to be okay. That's what God's trying to do to your heart and mind today. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Maybe not right now, but it's going to be okay. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, verse 16, that we are the children of God. Remember I started with, how I know we're saved? Your spirit's going to tell you, this is truth. That's a lie. This is truth. You're going to know it. You might not be able to explain it, but you'll know it. And I'm asking you to just taste and see that the Lord is good. For I reckon, verse 18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. You are going to be like Christ. I am going to be like Christ. Can you even fathom that, really? You know yourself the best. And we're going to be like Christ. He has given that to us, so do we see what God has done for us. I'd ask us, let's meditate on verses 13 and 14 throughout this week and see what God did for us in this simple thing called salvation. He's loved us. He chose us. He set us apart. He's called us, and he's going to glorify us. Wow. If that doesn't keep us going, I don't know what else will. And if any one of us is saved after reading this, and we can still have the bitternesses in our heart, the unbelief in our heart, that thing that nags at us that I can't get along with the individual that I supposedly loved at one time, that I can't deal with my child, what that kid is putting me through, we better check our salvation again. God is telling us what's going on. He's looked at each and every one of us, including me, made a special plan for our lives. We're either going to follow it or we're going to mess it up the best that we can like we do everything else. So it's real easy, I think. Just believe him. If you hear something in your ear, follow him. Just do it and watch how easy it is. But most of all, whoever you are today, don't give up. Amen. Don't lose hope. Amen. Continue to to love this truth. It's one thing to know the truth. Everybody, a lot of people know the truth. But it's another thing to love the truth. What is it that I love more than this? So God, thank you for today. Thank you for just your word, your love towards us, and that future. Lord, we've got more time ahead of us than we have behind us, each one of us. And I pray that every ear that's in here today heard your voice, not mine, and that we would spend eternity together, Lord, worshiping, glorifying you, thanking you for eternity, for that great love wherewith you loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Tell them what to do. Come on, monk.